I'm Madeline.
And I'm Sage.
And you're listening to the Jaded Duo Podcast. Shoot us an email at thejadedduopodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at thejadedduopodcast. Thank you for listening. I think, right?
Yes.
Okay. And go ahead. Ready when you are.
So I will be talking about Elizabeth Bathory. She's known as the Blood Countess because of being a serial killer and a countess.
Wow.
Shocking.
What a resume.
She was born in 1560, Hungary. She had about 650 victims.
Oh,
over my gosh. Over a 30-year period, so it calculated to 20 a year.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I've heard the name before, but I don't really know that much. 650? Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
Yeah, it's the estimated total.
Okay.
And it was over a 30-year period. She wasn't just like
murdering at least like 46 people a day or something. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tell me more.
So at the age of 10, she was betrothed to a count. And I can't say his name because it's in Hungarian. But 5 years later, when she was 15, she married him. She kept her maiden name of Bathory.
Uh-huh.
Because it held a lot of power. She was born into a wealthy family.
Gotcha. So she didn't really have a need to change her name.
Nope. She was inbred, as a lot of royals at the time were. When she was young, there isn't an actual, like, age range. She was molested by her aunt.
Hmm.
And then it was suspected that she killed and tortured her servants out of boredom.
I don't like her very much.
No.
I don't.
But she saw her servants and peasants as property.
I mean, that's something that she probably holds in common with a lot of, like, modern-day serial killers. Just, like, objectifying people. That's shitty. Okay.
So, from what I read, her husband actually helped her with some of them until he had to go to war.
Well, I mean, so he continued his own murdering, but out in the field by himself.
Yeah.
Great.
Besides all of her murdering, which we'll get into in a few minutes, mm-hmm. She actually had 8 children and had healthy relationships
with her children.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
define healthy.
Yeah.
It's really scary. Did any of her kids, like, know that she killed people for fun?
I didn't see anything about her kids, really. I had to look that up separately.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they
had some idea.
They had to have, just by the other things that she has done.
Uh-huh.
Like her methods of torture and things like that.
Right. Okay. Terrifying.
Her victims were mainly focused on young virgin girls, their peasants.
Okay, so that might tie back into her aunt molesting her.
That's what I was thinking too.
Okay. Huh. That's really sad.
It really is. And then, like there was a specific case in Vienna. She had a girl put into a state in a steel cage with inward facing spikes, which like that's bad enough. And then she had the cage raised. And then one of her accomplices, because she did have several accomplices, one of them was shouting obscenities at her, and then another accomplice stabbed the girl with a spear so that she bled even more onto them. And then it's also said that she forced her servants to cook and eat their own flesh.
No. What? Forced forced cannibalism? No. That's effed up.
She was effed up.
I think that's the one detail that I'm like reeling at the most, though, right now. Ew.
And then one of her more common things that she did is she forced her servants to get naked out in the snow and lay down as she poured cold water on them so that it was frozen and left them there for dead.
Oh no.
And then another thing that probably most likely ties back to the aunt is a lot of her sadistic behaviors were focused on the genitalia of her victims.
No. So was it like mutilation?
Most likely. People who have looked into it believe that she's got more gruesome and more gruesome because it aroused her.
Okay, so she's sexual sadist. Or what's the word? What's the word? What's the word? What's the word? I can't think of it. There's a word for it.
I don't know it.
I would usually have it on the tip of my tongue, but now I'm trying to access that file folder in my brain, and the cabinet's not opening.
I don't know it otherwise.
I'll think of it probably after we're done recording and then like yell at myself.
But so this was over a span of about 30 years that she's doing all of these things. And her husband died in 1604. And that was when she got really, really sloppy.
Sloppy how? Like, obviously, people weren't like convicting her in a court of law because she was a ruler.
Rich and powerful. As in,
Like, the torture just got worse.
not properly disposing of bodies.
Oh.
they would just be thrown over the castle walls and things like that. Up until she killed another noblewoman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the exact year for that in my notes. Which is when... name? No.
That's all right. It's a long time ago, so...
Yeah. But that was when the king, like the actual king at the time, launched an investigation on her. And gotcha. Sent someone in there. And walked in on an active crime scene. So she was, of course, arrested immediately.
And hopefully put to death, right?
Nope.
What?
Her accomplices, which I have four main ones. But her accomplices, of course, were put to death. They were executed. Elizabeth Bathory was...
She wasn't because?
She was not... she wasn't actually put on trial. So she was never a convicted murderess.
Okay.
But, so of course there's no official record of her doings. But she was put on house arrest in like 1610, I think. 1604, it's somewhere in between there.
I'm just imagining her in like traditional Hungarian garb of the time and then like an electronic ankle bracelet thing. One of those little house arrest thingies. Oh no.
But yeah, so she wasn't put on trial. So she wasn't actually convicted of anything. But of course, she was put on house arrest. And she died a couple years after that. She died in 1614.
Okay.
And she's gone down as the most prolific female serial killer of all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, with a body count like 650, I'm assuming that's a conservative estimate.
Yeah, it was around there.
Okay. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. The only other serial killer, like female serial killer that I can even compare her to would probably be Delphine LaLaurie.
I've never heard that name.
What? That was like one of the first serial killers I ever heard of.
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't know who that is.
Very basic rundown. Is she did similar things as Elizabeth Bathory, but she bathed in the blood of her victims, and she was in.
Okay. She sounds French.
Her family was French. She was a rich socialite in New Orleans.
Oh, what?
Uh huh.
Okay, that's cool as hell.
We'll have to do an episode about her.
Please, I would love to learn more. You said her name was Delphine what?
LaLaurie.
LaLaurie. Excellent. I might just have to do more research on that one myself. What time period was that in? I mean, obviously, post-1700s, likely.
I think it was late 1800s.
Late 1800s.
Mid okay. to late, I think.
All right.
I could be very wrong. But
do you happen to know, like, what her body count was, like, roughly, off the top of your head?
No.
Okay, well, but she did enough people to bathe in their blood. It was at least, like,
she did, four. Like I said, she did the similar thing of Elizabeth Bathory in that she killed her slaves. She tortured and killed her slaves. And it all started because she had backhanded one of her servant girls for something and got some... blood on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when she wiped it away, she thought that it looked more youthful that way.
Oh, so okay.
It was more of a beauty ritual, like the vampire facials of today.
girl, I'm sorry. With vampire facials, you use your own blood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a tattoo, but without the ink.
Yeah, okay.
They have a pen with a bunch of, like, hundreds of teeny tiny needles, and they just do it in circular motions on your face.
Okay. That's, I mean, I've heard of it, and I kind of know what it is in theory, but still, like, if you're gonna kill people, there's nothing that will make you beautiful. You're just an ugly person. Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway, who's your person?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that was really heavy.
It was.
Yeah. Elizabeth Bathory. Interesting. It's funny that, so that's kind of in, like, the area and time period. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Hungary is either next door to or very close to Transylvania, right?
Yes. So I think she was related to the guy who inspired Dracula.
Ah, Vlad the Impaler.
Yes. I couldn't remember his name at all. And I was trying to think of it last night.
Vlad Dracul, I think? Or something that sounds vaguely like Dracula. I don't know. Maybe I'm making stuff up. But anyway, so if you know me at all, you'll probably know that, like, my go-to TV show when I can't find anything to watch on Netflix or Hulu is Forensic Files. And so I'm going to tell the story of the episode of Forensic Files that disturbed me the most, and then I will tell you why.
Okay.
So the episode is called Sordid Scheme, as in, like, sword, not sordid, mm-hmm. but, you know, like the large knife kind of sword. And you can find it on YouTube. And the victim of this murder's name is Jessica O'Grady. This murder took place in Nebraska in 2009. Jessica O'Grady was a 19-year-old student at the University of Nebraska, and she worked at a steakhouse. And so one night she was hanging out with some friends, just like a girls' night. She received a text message, and then she got up, got ready, and then told her friends that she was going to Chris's house. And everyone assumed that she was referring to Chris Edwards, who was kind of her boyfriend. He also worked with her, and he was also a student at the University of Nebraska. And when she left her apartment, it was around 11:30 p.m. that night. And following that, nobody heard from her for 2 days, so they reported her missing. And the police and the detectives were kind of like, well, we don't exactly know if she's missing. She might have just gone off the map. But upon further investigation, there were some things that pointed to her, you know, not up and mm-hmm. leaving. One of those things was her abandoned car that they found near her place of work. One thing that was kind of off, I think it was her sister in this interview said that she usually had a very messy car. But for some reason it was tidy, which doesn't really have anything to do with the notification. You've got mail. Sorry. Distracted. Didn't really have anything to do with the actual crime, but it was just weird. So upon investigation, they find that Chris Edwards said that he hadn't seen her, and apparently he had an alibi. He had been at a movie with friends that night. He had the ticket stub. But a couple things, like, her family was pretty certain she wouldn't run away, because she was pregnant. She also had another Chris in her life. She'd been dating him several months earlier. Police thought she might have run off because she was pregnant, in spite of her family saying, no, that's, like, a very good reason why she wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And then finding that out, they also noticed that she hadn't taken anything with her. No clothes, no hygiene items, nothing. They didn't find her purse, but there was no credit card activity. And there was no cell phone activity following that night. Save it be the single text message she sent out on the night she was last seen. And it read, "No more shenanigans for Jessica," which is kind of weird. But basically, like, among her and her friends, that was code for, like, no more sex for Jessica, essentially. So detectives tried to use this as a lead to see where she was when she sent that text, based on her location in relation to cell towers in the area. They didn't find anything super conclusive with that. And at first they assumed Chris Edwards was innocent. And they looked into him more, and again, his alibi checked out. And then they looked into the other Chris, whose name was Chris Ryan. And he had zero additional contact with Jessica before her disappearance, in spite of the fact that he'd been a sex offender. He also had a solid alibi. Like, he was with people, he was out of town, like, he was just not there.
Mm-hmm.
So although suspicious and looking more likely to be, you know, somebody who would harm Jessica, his alibi was far more solid than Chris's, Chris Edwards. When Chris was dating Jessica, he had also been seeing other girls too. One of the girls that he was seeing was also pregnant, and her name was Michelle. Chris had told Michelle that he wanted to be with her and raise their baby together, and that Jessica was more of like a fling sort of thing. And Jessica had apparently told Chris that he was the father of her baby and had no intention of terminating the pregnancy. Kind of a sad note, Jessica, when she learned that she was pregnant, like, she bought prenatal vitamins, and like, she was like, there were just like little things that people noticed that kind of,
so she wanted the baby.
She wanted the baby, and she was excited to have this baby, which, like, in spite of the surrounding circumstances, like, her attitude about it and the outcome of the situation is just kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
So police kind of looked into Chris Edwards again at the police station. And one weird thing that they noticed was that he talked about Jessica in both past and present tense. So,
red flag?
Yeah, huge red flag. Generally speaking, like, if you think somebody's missing, but you don't know for sure whether they're dead or not, you'll refer to them in present tense because, mm-hmm. to your knowledge, they're still around. But, like, if you know they're dead for sure, that's when people refer to people in past tense. Sometimes. I don't know. I still, like, I have a friend who passed away when I was in the 10th grade, and I still refer to him in present tense because I feel like he's still around in some mm-hmm. ways. And that's just kind of a way that I hold on to him. But anyway, the police went to Chris Edwards' home. He had been living with his aunt, but he had a separate entrance to his part of the house. And investigators asked him, okay, brace yourself. This guy is a total dumbass. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, this guy is so, so dumb. Investigators asked him if they could look around, and then asked him if there were any parts of the house he didn't want them to look at. And he said, don't look at my bed and don't look at my camping gear. So, like, suspicious AF, if mm-hmm. you ask me. And they checked his alibi again, which, again, he said he was at the movies, but, he was home before Jessica sent that text. So his alibi, which had originally checked out, was, like, invalid. Later, investigators had found footage of Chris at a Walgreens buying some unusual items the day after her appearance, which included, okay, get this, white poster paint, white shoe polish, and masking fluid. you know, like white out the stuff people would use with typewriters. I know. Like, just this guy is so dumb.
Clearly. Noticed,
yeah. You're a little echoey.
Yeah. I had gotten kicked off, I guess, and it didn't reconnect properly.
Uh-oh.
So let me try and fix that.
Okay. Should I end this and then we should start another section?
Could you put them together?
Yeah, I can edit this out.
Okay.
We'll do that, yeah.
I just had to exit out of the second one that I was in. I figured.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay, so where was I?
He had bought the weird things from Walgreens or whatever.
Oh, right. So upon investigation, like further investigation, they noticed that parts of his ceiling were discolored. And it was from blood and paint covering the blood. So he had bought that stuff to try and cover up this blood spatter that was on his ceiling. Yeah, get this. When they pointed it out and asked him about it, he said that it was from a cut on his finger.
Unless that cut is spurting blood and you have it next to the ceiling, that doesn't happen.
I mean, even then, cast-off patterns don't come from that unless you're, like, whipping your hand around.
Yeah.
So, basically. Newscasters found out about this search that was going on, and it was broadcast on live TV. They used luminol and black light, and there was just blood basically everywhere. And upon flipping Chris's mattress, they found a massive blood stain. This stain covered 8 square feet.
And wow.
Yeah, 8 square feet. Like, there's no way the person that this blood came from survived that. No way.
Yeah, because you lose a couple liters of blood and you're done.
Exactly. And it took way more than just a couple liters to make an 8 square foot stain. Like, it was soaked into the mattress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, when they asked this punk what the hell this was caused by, he said that it was menstrual blood. And I know. In the episode of Forensic Files, there's this lady investigator who's like, yeah, I was there. And when he said that, I just kind of looked at it and went, no. They searched the rest of his house and they found transfer blood in his car, along with some hedge clippers and a dirty shovel. They tried to test the soil that was on the shovel for, like, geological evidence to maybe see if it was unique enough to match it to a place in particular, but it didn't provide any clues. They also analyzed some grass that was found on the shovel, and the only conclusion that they came to is that it looks like the kind that you'd find on a golf course.
Yeah.
And then they took his mattress and a 4x4 section of his ceiling to the forensics lab. And they didn't have Jessica's DNA profile at the time, so until they got it, they couldn't do much. But to ID the blood, they got DNA from her toothbrush, her comb, a razor that she had used, and a pair of her underpants. And they matched it to the blood that was found on the ceiling and in the mattress. And they looked and looked and looked for her body, but they never found it. Most likely because Nebraska has a lot of wide open space. So again, the blood matched the DNA that they took from some of her personal items. So now they're faced with this question, like, so we know he killed her, but how? And based on the cast-off patterns, they guessed the murder weapon was a large knife. So the cast-off patterns on the ceiling, because of the shape and the angle of the blood, they knew it was something kind of like a large knife. when they first searched his house, they found nothing that would fit that description and the cast-off patterns. But when they went back a second time, oh my gosh, this guy, they found something that evidently hadn't been there before. Two swords with 18-inch blades. Can you believe the nerve of this guy? Like, he hid the murder weapons, and then he brought them back to his house because he figured that the police weren't gonna, like, convict him.
Did he not consider that they had taken most of his ceiling?
Seriously! Like, this guy has the IQ of a rock.
Apparently.
I was gonna say frog, but that would have been generous. And insulting to the frog.
That's true.
So, these swords that he had are called Bangkok battle swords, and apparently they're often used in martial arts performances, but they're mm-hmm. super duper sharp, and it's very likely that they are the things that caused the cast off. They found Jessica's blood on the blade and Chris's skin cells on the handle, and because of this, not anything else, none of the other evidence is what got them to charge him. It was the weapon with his DNA on the handle and her DNA on the blade.
He also didn't clean anything.
He didn't even clean it. I know. You think he would like try and burn his mattress maybe, or maybe like get some actual like wall paint and put a couple coats on his ceiling. But no, like he didn't even like, this guy is just so dumb. And in the episode of Forensic Files, one of the investigators during the interview, he's like, well, I'll tell you this much. This guy made our job really easy, like really easy. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's really, really shitty of him is that even though he was convicted and offered a shorter sentence to disclose the location of her body, he didn't.
Wow.
And to this day, nobody knows where her body is. Like, we still haven't found it. This was 2009. It's a decade later. Wow. Nobody knows where she is.
2009 is a decade ago.
I know. Oh, I just... Ugh. Yeah, so anyway, this is the story of the first murder conviction in Nebraska without a victim's body. I think the phrase corpus delicti has something to do with this, but I don't exactly know the definition, so I'm not going to pretend to talk about it like I know what it is.
Well, corpus would more than likely be corpses.
Yeah. Or body. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because corpus is body in Latin, and delicti is...
I don't remember enough Latin.
Something else in Latin. Didn't we both take Latin?
I took Latin for like a year.
I took it for four, so I should definitely remember, but I don't, because Latin is a dead language, and I didn't get to speak it in my daily life. Anyway, so yeah, that's the story of the murder of 19-year-old Jessica O'Grady. So the story of my personal connection with this episode of Forensic Files. I had seen like a lot of episodes of Forensic Files before I took my forensics class, but for some reason had never seen this one, likely because it wasn't on Netflix. I was sitting in class, and once they showed the swords, I got like these cold chills, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my brothers have those exact swords. Mm-hmm. So I went home and I found my brother's swords and I threw them in the garbage because I was just so disturbed. I was like, oh my. Yeah. And so I don't think my brothers know that I did that still, but I was just like so freaked out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I was in like I was a senior in high school, so I wasn't like really, you know, young enough to know that it was a stupid thing that I was old enough to know that it was a stupid thing that I was doing, but still like young enough to be like super duper freaked out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is my story for today.
I think they're both pretty great stories.
Yeah. I really Elizabeth Bathory sounds like, I mean, obviously she was abused by her aunt, which,
yeah,
that in and of itself causes serious mental and emotional trauma.
Oh, yeah. Even the fact that she was inbred as well. That causes a lot of mental things.
Was it you who posted that thing on Instagram where it was like Charles Darwin had was
yes
inbred and
no, he was doing it. He was actively
inbreeding with his
first cousin.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's yeah. So then he'd like try to do an experiment mm-hmm. with his tomato plants and see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That no, he saw thing. The same thing happening with his tomato plants. He was like, oh.
We'll post that on Instagram with today's episode yeah. description.
I gotta find. Because yeah. there's a story of another, like, British, no, Spanish monarch. Mm-hmm. Who was so severely inbred.
Mm-hmm.
That, he ended up having severe disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find it. I can't find his name. But that was also when they... Because the Spanish royalty just basically wanted to take over all of Europe. So they had family in, like, almost all of the thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And they also believed that you can only marry a royal if you're a royal.
Well, I mean...
So...
How that worked out, well, we already saw, so...
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah, so, not only that, but she was probably also, like, a psychopath.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. Because I don't know if genetics has anything to do with psychopathy.
I think it has a little bit to do with it. Like, they say that, like, depression is genetic and things like that. Or well, you're more prone to things if genetically.
Yeah. Well, that's where, like, I have a genetic predisposition for, like, a myriad mental illnesses. One of those being, I think it's bipolar personality disorder, but I've never been diagnosed with that. So just because your family has it doesn't mean that you have to.
Right.
But at the same time, like, if you've got a predisposition, it's more likely.
Right.
Anyway. Like, yeah.
Like, if two of your parents have, we'll say diabetes, because that's in my family. Mm-hmm. If both of your parents have it, you're way more likely to develop it. Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't properly take care of yourself.
Yeah.
But none of my siblings nor I have it.
Hmm.
We're just you know what I mean.
predisposed.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I can't speak.
Girl, me neither. Did you hear my, like, 30-second long stutter in the middle of me telling my story a minute ago?
That might have been when I got kicked out and I was like, I can't hear you.
Oh. Conveniently.
I think you kicked me off.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
It wasn't you. I had accidentally activated Siri and it kicked me off.
Rut-row.
Yeah. So next week is Myths and Fairy Tales.
Hooray! Okay.
Something very lighthearted.
Yes. Let's keep it a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you want, you can tell me which one you're doing so I don't do yours, but
yeah,
I kind of like it to be a surprise.
So. I don't know which one I'm going to do yet.
Neither do I.
And it can be from any culture, too. I know which one I'm doing. Never mind.
I think I might have an idea.
Just tell me which mythology it's from.
Africa.
Okay, so it's not going to be mine. Mine is Norse. It's a really, really lighthearted story. Because our stories were so dark today.
Yeah, I think we deserve that. And by we, I mean our listeners.
Of course. How many do we have, by the way?
Two.
That's fair.
Us. It's us.
That's fair.
So, yeah, it really is us, our listeners. Sweet.
Isn't it supposed to also, like, go on to Apple Music or Apple Podcasts? I think that was one of the things.
I don't exactly know.
I'll have to look into it.
I can look into it too and make sure that we're getting put up on different platforms. Because at this point, as far as I know, we're just on Anchor. And
I don't think very many people know about Anchor.
I mean,
because I didn't.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, if you've been podcasting for a while, you get to know, like, different networks like Stitcher. Yeah. And
I do. I listen to, like, 4 podcasts.
I listen to so many podcasts.
I just don't have time, I guess.
I don't either, but I make time. I drive a lot because I have, like, weekly appointments. Yeah. 45 minutes away from me, like, twice a week. So that's...
If I do...
That's several hours of driving
a week. Yeah, if I do, it's more than likely at the gym. Like, I got into one called...
Podcasts while working out are the best.
Today, I worked out, but I didn't get to listen to a podcast because I was catching up with the lady. So...
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I got into one of the podcast, The Grave Talks.
Oh, yeah, I listened to that for a while. When I was living in my apartment, I'd just go, like, sit on my balcony and listen to ghost stories midday.
I don't like the way that they're doing it right now. They're doing, like, you have to pay for the second part to an episode. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, which, like, I mean, there is a lot to be said about, like, paying for people's content that they work really hard to make, but there's also a lot to be said for free media. So I have mixed feelings and opinions on
my
that
entire
whole
thing, though, is that they already have sponsors, like, every week.
Yeah,
they're sponsored by, like, multiple people every week.
Yeah, so if you're sponsored, then, like, isn't the point of a sponsorship making it, like, public media?
Yep. Okay. And also, well, they have, from the beginning, they've talked about how you can pay for extra, you can pay for, like, bonus content, like, extra episodes and things like that, which I'm completely fine with. It's just, like,
yeah, as far as, like, Patreon and stuff goes, like, if somebody's, like, a digital artist or just an artist in general, like, I am all for supporting independent artists. Yes. But they don't usually have other sponsorships, so...
Yeah. Or, like, even some YouTubers.
Yeah.
A lot of YouTubers have Patreon now because AdSense is just so bad.
Yeah. Oh, what a world.
I know, right? Cost of living is too high.
Ugh, girl. You're telling me.
It's pretty bad when a 16-year-old knows it.
Yep. I mean, I didn't ever have any intention of being 20 and living with my parents.
Yeah.
But at this, like, generations ago, that would have been, like, unheard of. But now people are, like, 25, 26, 27, still living at home. Because
generations before that, people lived with their parents until they got married.
Which was, like, at what? Age 14?
This is true.
Yeah.
It was mostly the girls who got married at 14, but the guys were probably like 18. More than likely more, but
ew.
It's another topic.
Yes, it is certainly another topic for another day. I have to ask, I feel like this is just going to be like one of my go-to questions. What is the weather like down in Florida right now?
As of right now, it's sunny, but I can see some clouds.
All right.
Like, semi-dark clouds. It's been storming here. I think I had said, like, a week last week, or in the other episode. Well, it still hasn't stopped.
All right. So I guess the roles are reversed, because here it's been sunny for, like, a while.
Yeah.
Right now, like, it rains at night. Yeah.
I need to go.
We do love that sunshine. You need to go what now?
My chicken run pen. I got to put up a tent and some more fence posts because it sucks. Because I have to build a proper one. It's actually a people tent, but my mom was like, hey, you should use this human tent for it. Because of so much rain, because we've had so much rain, I have tarps over the chickens and the rabbits. And of course, the tarps.
So do you usually not have like hutches and coops for your chickens?
I usually do. But as of right now, I don't, except for one. Because in Florida, it's too humid to have wood that's not like good wood.
Oh, so does it have to be like sealed?
It has to be. I mean, sealed either way, finished. It has to be. Yeah. But it also has to be solid wood.
Oh, it can't be hard like wood. Soft stuffed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It can't be soft wood, which is what not our old coops were made out of.
And not even medium wood
is bad wood.
Ah.
Like they weren't worth what we paid for.
That's such a foreign concept to me. Like extreme humidity.
We have one coop that we built for our old chickens and before I got rid of them. And I gave people the coop too. That's still standing. I mean, they had to replace the wire, but so I have to build a chicken coop, a proper chicken coop again, and then I have to build rabbit hutches again. I might just do massive one.
I've never built a chicken coop before, but that sounds...
I haven't by myself, but I've helped. I've also helped build a pig pen, so...
Well, you're very smart, and I think that you could handle it just fine by yourself if you had the tools.
Oh, I'm sure. I own a sander. Like, I've got this.
Oh! Hooray! My mom, get this. So my mom is the handy one of my parents, so and my dad is like... Yeah, my dad is like, the dishwasher's broken, honey, help! And so, my mom has so many power tools. Like, she has a round, I don't think it's a table saw, but it's like a, I think it's called a miter saw. She has a miter saw and a chainsaw and a sander and a power drill. And she just has many power tools. Yeah, it's great. I love my mom.
I redid my bathroom recently. I think I sent you a picture.
Oh, yeah.
But because when it was painted last, it was like the 90s or the 80s. It was one of the two.
Oh, my goodness.
So my great aunt painted it, and she painted it white. And then she took sponges and sponge painted pink on top of it.
Ew.
It was so bad. Everybody hated it, so I repainted it cream.
Really ugly. In my old house, we had this tile that was like this awful shade of like baby pink, but it had like brown and gray detailing. It was like a mm-hmm. wash over it. So the floors always looked dirty. Always, yeah. always. Yeah. So
tile like, matters.
It really does. I really love, I have like
pink tile in my bathroom or in my on my toilet. This is this sounds really weird. My grandma paid extra to have it completely ceramic. Of course, it's ceramic, and it's pink.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a pinky purple, but it's like solid, so it doesn't come off.
Okay.
It's like not just finished that way.
The toilet is pinky purple?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to have to send you a picture, I guess. But the tub okay. is the same way.
That's funny. I've only it's ever experienced so white
Well, you're about to experience pink, pretty purple.
Wait. My brother has a friend who has a black toilet in their house.
I would rather have a black toilet.
I mean, yeah. See, the thing is, like, I generally scrub my toilet based on how it looks. And yeah. with a black toilet, you just wouldn't know when it really needs to be scrubbed. So, like, usually it's once a week, sometimes twice.
But, yeah.
like, with a black toilet, you'd just be like, huh, looks fine. When in reality, it's filthy, and you have no idea. That being said, it's a toilet, so, I mean, when can you get it?
How did we end up here?
I don't know. I'm not mad at it, though.
No.
Did you hear that squeak? I've never made that sound before. Well,
I have to fill up my axolotl tank.
You should. And please, it's Smaug, right?
Smaug.
Smaug. Please give Smaug a kiss.
I will.
From me. Except please don't kiss your axolotl. They probably don't like that.
I'll give him pets for you.
You can't. Can you do that? Can yes. you handle them?
Yeah, you can't just. You just can't take them out of the water.
Oh.
They're very slippery. They're amphibians.
They are. And aren't they like native to a very, very small area in Mexico?
Yes. A series of lakes in Mexico.
That's and so critically neat. Endangered
because That's that so ecosystem sad. Is failing them.
Thanks, climate change.
Yeah. It's more than Seriously. Likely climate change, too, because they have to have their water at, like, 68 or below.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. In my humble opinion, I think we're basically toast. But. Are you there? Did I lose you? Hello? Oh no! Oh no, now I'm all alone. Hold on.
This is the Jaded Duo podcast. Thank you for listening.